since she could remember, really. His birth certificate said Conrad Raleigh Beeston III, and his father, the second, was always called Conrad, so Beast got stuck with Raleigh, which he'd never been happy about. When they started calling him Beast in school, he made everyone else call him that, too. Tilly's mother never would, though. She insisted on calling him by his given name, Conrad, just like she refused to shorten Mathilda to Tilly. Tilly's mother's name, Olivia, was the exception, shortened down to Liv by almost everyone they knew. But Liv was dignified, according to her mother, a far cry from Tilly, which she thought absurd, and Beast, a nickname she deemed downright distasteful. Tilly was the only one who got away with calling Beast Connie on occasion, and usually just to make him mad. But Beast really did fit him. Even back in high school, at 5'11" and 210 pounds, he could bench press 380. His stint in the Marines had bulked him up even more. He just returned from a second tour of duty as a military policeman in Afghanistan, and his physique had only improved over time. His dark hair was short, almost shaved, just a shadow in the moonlight, like the stubble on his cheeks. His ink, also acquired while he was serving his country, decorated his back and shoulders, and she itched to trace the lines with her fingers. He cried out again, pitching, rolling from belly to back, and she held her breath, waiting for him to wake and find her standing over him. If he did, she knew he'd growl at her, tell her to leave his room. And she knew she should do just that, but she didn't. She stayed, watching him churn in his sleep. He mumbled something, a throaty sort of grumble, and she saw his jaw working, heard the low grind of his teeth. It wasn't the first time she'd seen him like this, or the first time she'd heard him have nightmares. He'd had them as far back as she could remember. Liv had taken him to the doctor twice, complaining of the way he woke up shouting, telling Dr. Schoner it was dangerous for a teenage boy to be wandering around such a big house in the middle of the night. Beast did sleepwalk back then, she remembered. It was after he'd woken them all, screaming, from the pool in the yard that Liv insisted he started taking some sort of sleep medication at night. But he'd never had nightmares like he had when he came back from Afghanistan, she remembered. It had been much, much worse then. Funny how everything changed, but things stayed the same, she thought, looking down at the tormented expression on his troubled face in a silver slant of moonlight. The tattoos inking his back and shoulders continued down his thick, broad chest. His upper body was heavily muscled, his chest mildly hairy. He was the kind of man who kept things simple. He had always been well-groomed, but Beast wouldn't have time or patience for any manscaping. A dark line of hair ran down from his navel, disappearing underneath the tangled sheets. More words that weren't really words came from his throat. Beast flung himself about again, grinding his teeth. Maybe it was being here in this house. He had his own apartment somewhere downtown, but he'd come back home to stay in his old room. Tilly didn't like to think about the reason why. She hoped his nightmares didn't have anything to do with Liv. Her own nightmares about it were enough. He yelled again, arms swinging, hitting the wall hard. She winced, waiting for that to wake him up. It had to have hurt, bruised his already scarred knuckles, but he just muttered and moaned. She told herself to turn around, to go back to her room and go to sleep, now that she knew what it was that had woken her. But the truth was, she couldn't stand seeing him like this. In spite of everything, she hated seeing him in pain, and her own imagination ran wild. Was he dreaming about their mother? Seeing her wasting away in a hospital bed, maybe? Or had his mind skipped to the end, to a funeral that hadn't happened? Not yet, anyway. Thinking about attending her own mother's funeral made her feel a little nauseous. It was likely an inevitability, and she'd known it since Liv had been diagnosed with stage 3 lung cancer, but Liv wasn't the only one who liked to live in denial. Tilly had learned from the best, after all. Maybe that's why it had astonished Tilly so much when Liv contacted Beast again. That, let's pretend everything is fine vibe was the only one Tilly knew, when it came to her mother. So seeing her mother picking up the phone and calling Beast, begging him with tears and everything, to come home after this tour was over, had shocked Tilly into silence. It surprised her when Liv had used a mother's guilt. A stepmother's guilt apparently worked just as well, asking him to come spend as much time as possible with his family in her last days. It surprised Tilly even more when he'd agreed to come. She would be lying if she said she didn't know how long it had been,